Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you very much for tuning in tonight. Hope you're going to hang out with me for a while, huh? I got an email before the program, a very good idea. I think we're going to do it tomorrow night. It comes from Jude in Seattle. A request to read the Declaration of Independence on the program. It's not that long, if you're aware of that. So we're going to do it tomorrow night, bottom of the first hour of the program. So don't miss it. I think, yeah, I agree with the person who wrote to me, the woman who wrote to me from Seattle. I think it is very appropriate to maybe restate it. And reading it just a few minutes ago, there are some chilling parallels between what King George was imposing upon the colonists and what George Bush has been imposing on citizens of this country. So tomorrow night we're going to read the full text, Declaration of Independence. I mention it now, so if you want to, Google off a copy and read along with me tomorrow night, okay? Got an email here from Pete in Florida. Greetings, Mike. I'm watching the freak show called The Republican Debate. This group of xenophobic racists seems to be in competition for who can be the most reactionary, the most unilaterally predisposed to fear-mongering. I cringe at the notion that this group of candidates may produce the next president of the United States. If it weren't so pathetic, I would laugh off the entire grouping of these freaks, but reality mandates a careful, detailed evaluation and dissection of the entire lot. And he goes on. Yeah, I tuned in and watched a little bit of that, Peter, but just couldn't handle it. I just couldn't. I can't believe that these people on that stage in St. Pete, eight of them, I cannot believe that these are candidates for the presidency of the United States. I have hard enough time with some of the Democrats, but the Republic, it's on CNN right now if you want to, you know, I wouldn't be the least bit offended if you want to tune in. What's it got, Kathy? Another 51 minutes? Yeah? It's appalling. It's astonishing. It's unbelievable. It's so degenerate. And again, I'm not real pleased with the field that the Democrats have put out there, but at least the Democrats have some members of their field of candidates who are speaking from reality-based universe. These people, these Republicans, yes, including Ron Paul. Ron Paul has a big following now. Yeah, I understand. But listen to what the man says, read up on what he would do as president, and then when you stop shrieking, give me a call and we'll talk about it. But what a group. I can't believe that these men, all white, all look the same, all bled out completely, all standing there, all saying the same, that there's not a dime's worth of difference among this group in anything that they're saying, with the exception of Ron Paul. But Ron Paul's not a Republican. He has no business being there. It's Astonishing. Tony writes, regarding the Mideast peace talks, Mike, is it just me, or is this the greatest collection of bona fide war criminals ever assembled on American soil, hosted by our very own war criminal in chief? Isn't it just amazing that just yesterday he was on the verge of starting a new war with Iran, and today he is being hailed by the media as an angel of light and bringer of peace? How is this possible? Well, Tony, it's because our media is centered in a whorehouse. No offense to sex workers. It's centered in a whorehouse. The people you see on television are sleazy whores. No offense to women who work in the sex industry, although I wish y'all would get out of it. In a lighter note, over here in Aiken, South Carolina, did you see this story? Guy walks into a bank and tries to open up an account. And what he has to open up his account with is a $1 million bill. Now, of course, there is no such thing. It doesn't exist. The U.S. government has never printed a $1 million bill. But that's South Carolina, you see. So the guy walks into the bank and tries to open an account with this thing. His name is Alexander Smith, 31. Eventually, he was charged with disorderly conduct and two counts of forgery. Now, the employee at the bank said, nah, I don't think so, wouldn't open the account, and called police when the man started to curse at the other workers. Now, he was booked on two charges of forgery. The first one was that. The second forgery charge came after investigators learned that Mr. Smith bought several cartons of cigarettes from a nearby grocery store with a stolen check. $1 million. I think I'm going to go rip some people off today. How are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to make a fake amount of money. How much? $1 million. $1 million. Yeah, $1 million bill. And there ain't no such thing as $1 million bill. Yeah, there is. No, there isn't. Yes, there is. Jesus. But it's South Carolina. What is going on with Clinton? Now, everybody, all the right-wingers, of course, are having a field day with what Clinton said the other day at a campaign stop for his wife in Iowa. But even some of the so-called moderates, like, hold your breath, Chris Matthews, some of the liberal news geeks, they've all gone after him. What Clinton said was, and first of all, one thing you got to know about Bill Clinton, anytime he starts talking, it's all about him. It doesn't make any difference if it's his wife's campaign or if it's somebody's book tour or if it's one of his friends. Anything that comes out of Bill Clinton's mouth is all about him, especially now that he's retired. He doesn't worry. You know, I'm not in government anymore. And, you know, I really do believe Hillary's going to be a good president. but, you know, if you ask me a question, it's going to be about me. It has to be about me. So what he said in Iowa the other day, he said from the beginning he was against the Iraq war. Those three words, from the beginning. Clinton said, here's the full quote, even though I approved of Afghanistan and opposed Iraq from the beginning, I still resent that I was not asked or given the opportunity to support those soldiers. Opposed Iraq from the beginning. Now, Clinton has long been a critic of the Bush invasion of Iraq. He called it a big mistake in November 2005, you know, 2.5 years after it happened. But like Hillary, Clinton supported giving Bush the authority to go to war. But this is what drives people nuts about Clinton. On the one hand, he's saying that he was opposed to the war from the beginning. And the way he justifies that, even though he supported and his wife supported the war resolution that the Senate passed, both Clintons maintain that that was not a declaration of war, and in that they are essentially correct. And what they're saying is, and a lot of people who signed on to that Iraq resolution not just the Clintons, but a lot of people are saying, well, it wasn't a declaration of war. It gave Bush the authority. If the weapons of mass destruction were found, if all these ifs come into play, if nuclear program is found, if Hans Blix, if the inspectors, if, then he had the authority to go to war. So in that sense, Clinton is absolutely right. But this is what drives people crazy, especially me. Bill Clinton will take the truth and pinch that little sucker until it's screaming bloody murder. He would just take it and squeeze the bejesus out of it. Until the truth is going, damn, let go of me, ow, stop. And then he stands back and looks at everybody and says, what? Would I say something wrong? I have been against this war from the start, so was Hillary. A spokesperson for Clinton said, as he said from the beginning and many times since, President Clinton disagreed with taking the country to war in Iraq without allowing the weapons inspectors to finish their jobs. Which is essentially true. It is essentially true. But if you listen to some of the sound bites that were played today on MSNBC and CNN, you hear Bill Clinton talking about how Saddam had to be removed, this and that and the other thing. If that's not support, I don't know what is. But this is why Bill Clinton was so frustrating to Democrats or to moderates within the Democratic Party, centrists. Or even some people who thought they were liberal and voted for Clinton and then found out that he was no more liberal than an educated George Bush might be. Well, a little bit more, but it's maddening. But what I find nauseating is the way media in this country have jumped on that statement as if Bill Clinton was flat out lying. Just like when he said, I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. Excuse me. He was telling the truth by his definition. You know, in the South, eating ain't cheating. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
Yeah, I don't think Bill Clinton gets it, does he? That Hillary being in the Oval Office will be Hillary being in the Oval Office. What am I saying? Of course it won't be. A couple of emails here regarding the Republican debate that's going on, even as we speak. This is from Jack. Hello, Mike. Perhaps you could inform your listeners if they want to, but I doubt it, if they want to watch this so-called Republican freak show, to put the TV on mute. Then they can still listen to you, which is much more important. P.S. Fred Thompson is frightening. He looks like a live sea monster. He does. I hadn't thought of it. He does look like a sea monster. Oh, my God. And Reg writes, regarding the GOP maniacs, immigration, guns, abortion, the death penalty are the topics so far in this time warp back to the 50s and 60s. That's what the debate has been about. They just discussed whether a woman getting an abortion should be charged with a crime, as well as the doctor performing the abortion. Ron Paul agreed that abortion is a crime. They're all disgusting. I have the debate on in the background because I'm waiting for a question on gay rights to be posed by Anderson Cooper. No matter, I'm slowly going mad anyway. Reg, then she adds, I can't believe, and then I can. They're now discussing whether the Bible is the Word of God or not. Oh, Jesus. Oh, make it stop. Bring it up a little bit. Let's put a little bit of this on. Go ahead. Can you, if you can get us some here before we go in. We have another break coming very quickly. Let's see if we can...
We shouldn't do the thing that we're being attacked for.
Oh, here's the guy who supports terrorism.
People for the horrible acts of a few people who have distorted a great religion. And they've turned it into an ideology of hatred and an ideology of violence.
Talking about Christianity?
By the same token, we can't do what the Democrats do. We can't put our head in the sand. You had a Democratic debate, and not a single one of those Democratic candidates used the word Islamic terrorism. I don't know who they think they're offending. The people they're offending are the people we want to offend, the Islamic terrorists. And not decent people like Yasmin. We are intelligent enough and good enough as Americans to make this distinction.
Senator McCain?
Well, I do a lot of things, but the first and most important and vital element is to continue this surge, which is succeeding, and we are winning the war in Iraq. That's the first thing I would do.
Oh, God. Yeah, you go, John!
I make sure that we do what we can to help reconstruct the country, to help the Maliki government move forward as rapidly as possible, to train the police. But I'll tell you one other thing we're going to do is we're going to fight back the Democrats' efforts to set a date for withdrawal, which is a date for surrender. Now, my friends, I'm the only one on this stage. I'm the only one on this stage
surrender?
Who said that the Rumsfeld strategy was failing and was doomed to failure. I'm the only one on this stage that said we've got to have a new strategy, and that's the strategy we're employing now. And I got a lot of heat when I said that strategy was failing and it had to be changed, because I've had the experience and the background and the knowledge.
All right. We got to go to a break. This poor, pathetic little man. This John McCain, this poor, pathetic little man, they all are. I mean, it's just such a negative commentary on what this country can produce in terms of presidential candidates. Of course, they happen to be Republicans, so that explains a lot. But even so, you know, the party of Eisenhower, the party of Lincoln, the party of Theodore Roosevelt, And they produce this group of dwarfs. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show. Only on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Not just Bill Clinton was lambasted about what he said yesterday. Also Stephen King, the novelist, the writer. I woke up this morning. I turned on Joe Scarborough's program on MSNBC. Morning Joe. Ever watch that? And... Scarborough all of a sudden found his Republican roots, I guess, because he's trying to, you know, he's been trying to come across like some kind of a reform drunk or ex-drug user, and in a sense kind of succeeding, but he fell off the wagon completely and went after Stephen King today, hammer and tong this morning, and it was kind of embarrassing. His two sidekicks, Mika Brzezinski, the newswoman, and Geist, what's the guy's name? The curly-haired white guy that sits Geist is, I don't even know, to hell with it. But they looked a little uncomfortable when Scarborough went off on this tirade about Stephen King. Here's what the deal is. There's an interview in at Time.com. I don't know if it's in the magazine. It may be. Stephen King says, so who's going to be Time Person of the Year? The interviewer. I really don't know. There's a very small group of people who make that decision. Stephen King. I think it should be Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan. time. Really? King. Yeah, you know, I just finished a segment for Nightline about the movie version of my short novel, The Mist. And one of the things I said to them was, you know, you guys are just covering, what do they call it, the scream of the peacock, and you're missing the whole fox hunt. Like waterboarding. Or where all the money went that we poured into Iraq. It just seems to disappear. And yet you get this coverage of who's going to get custody of Britney's kids and whether or not Lindsay drank at her 21st birthday party and all this other dreck. He goes on to say, you know, this morning the two big stories on CNN are Kanye West's mother, who died apparently after having some plastic surgery. The other big thing that's going on is whether or not this cop, Drew Peterson, killed his wife. And meanwhile, you've got Pakistan in the midst of a real crisis where these people have nuclear weapons that we help them develop. You got a guy in charge who's basically declared himself the military strongman and is being supported by the Bush administration, whose raison d'etre for going into Iraq was to spread democracy in the world. So you've got these things going on, which seem to me to be very substantive, that could affect all of us, and instead, you see a lot of this back fence gossip. So I said something to the Nightline guy about waterboarding, and if the Bush administration didn't think it was torture, they ought to do some personal investigation. Someone in the Bush family should actually be waterboarded so they could report on it to George. I said, I don't think he would do it, but I suggested Jenna be waterboarded, and then she could talk about whether or not she thought it was torture. And then the guy from Nightline said, well, obviously you've not been watching Rolls News Tonight with Charlie Gibson, but I do. I watch them all. End quote. Now, it's that line in there about Jenna. So Scarborough just was losing it this morning about how dare Stephen King. Oh, and a real character assault against King, you know, a washed-up writer whose books don't sell many and is the most published author. And I don't know, either he or... the Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling, one of the two of them, I think, is probably the most published author. Oh, that's right, I'm leaving out God because of the Bible. But so they're going after Stephen King, but you know, and ad hominem attack because of what he said. But beyond that, watching Scarborough get his bloomers in a wad because Stephen King suggested, well, somebody in the Bush family, let Jenna Bush go get waterboarded. She'll report whether or not it's torture. I mean, what is wrong with these people like Scarborough? You know, that's something I've never been able to understand. So many people who have these King Hell positions in media are such halfwits, such jackasses, such, I don't know what do you call them? Now, Ashcroft says he's willing to be waterboarded. Did you hear about that? If Jenna won't do it, you know, if Pickles could slip her a couple of Valium and just say, here, Jenna, shut up and go do it. So you can come tell Daddy what you felt there. If she won't do it, Ashcroft will do it. The other night, Ashcroft was at the University of Colorado in Boulder making a speech on national security. Wrong place, John. According to Think Progress, the event was marked by heated protests. About 20 students who were protesting wore shirts with shame written on the backs and wore American flags over their faces. And when Ashcroft took the podium, they welcomed him by standing up and turning their backs to him. Didn't say anything, just stood there, which I think is very, very effective. You know, you can, somebody that's yelling and screaming, you just call the police, have them thrown out. Somebody who just stands there through the duration of your filthy mouth speech with the word shame on the T-shirt, what are you going to do? You know, you're on their turf. This is not a John Ashcroft for President rally, so you've been invited to their school, and they can do anything they goddamn please. So there they stood with shame T-shirts on. Apparently during the speech, Ashcroft caused a real uproar when he declared that Guantanamo, the prison there, was a good place, his words, a good place for detainees. And in addition, he defended the torture called waterboarding. According to news reports, Ashcroft responded to questions from the audience. The first question came from a woman who asked if Ashcroft would be willing to be subjected to waterboarding. He said, quote, the things that I can survive, if it were necessary to do them to me, I would do, end quote. Now, first of all, what the hell does that mean? the things that I can survive. When you're waterboarded, excuse me, you don't know if you're going to survive or not, you half-wit. I mean, from the safety and security of your podium, University of Colorado, you make a half-assed statement like that. No wonder you're such a freak. No wonder you have gotten into the lobbying business and have recently gotten, what is it, a $30 million contract to do something for the Department of Justice that he used to head. Can you believe this? Of course you can. The things that I can survive, if it were necessary to do them to me, I would do. In the first place, what the hell does the sentence mean? Is this how he talks? So apparently Ashcroft believes that torture should be allowed as long as it doesn't kill him. And you got to wonder, what the hell does that mean? Gerald Nadler, Democrat from New York, and William Delahunt, Democrat from Massachusetts, have introduced what's called the American Anti-Torture Act of 2007. Did you ever think we'd have to have something like that introduced as a bill? It will make clear that no U.S. government agency feels it can apply the Ashcroft standard while interrogating detainees. Now, this is what is in the preamble to that bill. Waterboarding is not so-called simulated drowning, end quote. It is drowning. It involves restraining a detainee, usually by strapping him or her to a board, with the head placed lower than the feet. The face or mouth is often covered or stuffed with rags, and water is poured over the face to force inhalation. The victim's lungs fill with water until the procedure is stopped or the victim dies. Waterboarding has been considered torture even by our own government until recently. Indeed, we prosecuted Japanese officers for subjecting prisoners to waterboarding in World War II, end quote. So there stands Ashcroft. And of course, the rat bastard Alberto Gonzalez is out on the lecture tour too. Defending, and I just during the break, I was listening to these freaks on the stage down in St. Pete, these Republican presidential hopefuls, and Mitt Romney. What happened to this guy, huh? In the first place, he's never going to be president, ever, under of anything, unless it's some corporation someplace or you know, some job when he quits this little charade of, I'm handsome, I'm tall. I deserve to be president. He's not going to be president. But there stood Romney talking, when asked a direct question about waterboarding, just like this freak that became the new attorney general. He refused to answer.
Well, I'm not going to reveal a technique that we might use. I'm not going to reveal it to, I think it's irresponsible for someone who wants to be president because, you know, the terrorists are listening.
Hey, ass. Whoops, almost said it, didn't I? Hey. Hey, you ass. How's that? No terrorist is listening to you tonight. Really, Mitt? They don't care what you're saying. But it was just weird listening to the audience applauding lines about torture. So anyway, back to Ashcroft. Several protesters were forcibly removed, not the ones that were standing in the audience with their backs to him. But about 20 of these protesters from Colorado, University of Colorado, and Naropa University, it used to be Naropa Institute, I guess it's a university now, oh God, who's this? All right, I'll give you the rest of the story coming back. I can't, this is oral waterboarding.
She's far too young to die. You can see it in her eyes. It's time to let the mighty eagle soar. Let the eagle soar like she's never soared before. From rocky coast to golden shore, let the mighty soar with healing.
Faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
10 before the hour, finishing up this report here about Ashcroft at the University of Colorado at Boulder last night. That small group of silent protesters from the Students for Peace and Justice, they were students from University of Colorado and also the Naropa, I guess it's Naropa University, not Naropa Institute. They were overshadowed by some other unidentified demonstrators who rushed the stage to confront Ashcroft repeatedly during his speech and during the question and answer portion. One woman who was removed several times but kept finding a way back into the auditorium screamed out, "I have a question. What medication are you on that you could violate our rights with such a clear conscience? Because I'd really like to get some." Yeah, I've been in that auditorium where that took place last night. Of course, the whole campus, University of Colorado, is beautiful. Anyway, Ashcroft, according to the Denver Post, Ashcroft spent most of his speech defending, to the estimated crowd of about 1,000 people, the legacy of his tenure as Attorney General, and that was the implementation of the Patriot Act following the attacks of September 11th. And then it says, Ashcroft remained calm while the crowd booed him loudly several times during his speech, including when he said Guantanamo Bay was a good place for detainees, and he was proud of the United States government and its self-policing at Abu Ghraib. But Ashcroft lost his composure when a man in the audience called him a liar. Ashcroft said, "For those of you who have nothing to learn, why did you come tonight?" I think these freaks ought to go out more often, and thank goodness for students who will confront these rat bastards. The White House press corps never would. They don't have the courage. White House press corps is a pack of overpaid rats with one or two exceptions. One or two exceptions. There are a couple. But for the most part, they are nothing but career-protecting, ass-kissing cowards, the White House press corps. They could have asked these questions. This is what irritates me also about Bill Clinton. If Bill Clinton, I was against this war from the beginning. Well, if he was, why didn't he make a stand? Why didn't he do what Jimmy Carter did? Clinton was the immediate past president who watched his vice president have the presidency stolen from him by this gang of sons of bitches. So what does Clinton do? He spends the next year or two writing his book. I had to write my book. And then he starts hanging out with the anti-Semitic George Herbert Walker Bush, like they're good, holding hands, like Bush Jr. and the Sheikh Ibn Abu Dhabi, whatever, of the Saudi Arabia. Whenever Sheikh Abu Adamaba, whatever, goes to the Prairie Chapel, there's Bush holding his hand, pinching his ass, talking to him, whispering in his ear. "Hey, George, those are the people that sent 15 bombers to this country and murdered 3,000 people on our soil. If you're telling the truth, where was Clinton?" So Ashcroft says he's willing to be waterboarded, and he gets his ass handed to him by these students. And where was the White House press corps when this freak and the rest of these miserable, filthy scum were running this country? Where's our media? Where is our kick-ass, take-names media? Where are the men and women who say, you know, you're a lying son of a bitch? Where is it written down that you can't stand up in a press conference even today and say to Dana Perino, "You're a lying son of a bitch, and we're tired of it. You're the fourth one to come in here and lie to us, and we're tired of it. Either tell the truth or shut up." Well, what's to stop somebody from doing that? Would they lose their White House press pass? Ooh. Well, you know what would happen. The corporate pig that reporter or writer or TV news person works for would immediately fire him or her. for having the absolute temerity to ask that sort of a question. So they sit there. The crack White House press corps sits there and asks these inane questions, some of which are rather pointed, never with a follow-up, never with a demand for the truth, never to confront the press secretary and say, you are lying through, you don't have to call him a son of a bitch, okay, that's just me. I'm just a wigged-out, freaked-out talk show host. But what is to prevent? Where is it written down that these reporters cannot stand up on their hind legs and say, you're a liar, you're a liar? Tell us the truth or shut up! But media are not there to inform and to make us strong. Media are there to take the handouts, to suck up, maybe invite Dana out for a cappuccino after the press briefing. Hey, Dana, want to go get a coffee? Let me get this filed with the Times and I'll join you. Okay, hurry up. Nah. So are we doomed? are we doomed? Well, not as long as we have the internet, right? And sites like Brad Blog and some of the diarists at Daily Coast and TV News Lies and Think Progress and I'm not going to go down the whole list, but as long as we have those, we're not quite. We're not quite doomed. All right. Big top of the hour break here. We'll be back. Don't go away. Stick around. I've got some stuff here on the Blackwater Guards. Have been using the same drugs that Barry Bonds used. Only, Barry Bonds now is facing some serious legal problems because apparently he's going to be charged, or he has been charged with lying. It looks like the Blackwater Guards who take great sport in murdering people in Iraq are steroid users, an inordinate amount of them, percentage of them. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. There is a lawsuit against Blackwater Worldwide brought by family members of all the people that were murdered in the latest spasm of violence. Not the latest, but one of the where 17 Iraqi civilians were butchered by Blackwater. The lawsuit alleges widespread use of steroids and other drugs by Blackwater thugs in Iraq, and which is certainly plausible and very probable. Have you seen pictures? You've seen the pictures of these guys. Every one of them is just bulked up beyond belief. Now, I realize that people in the security business do that for a number of reasons, not the least of which are psychological, but when you think of somebody bulking up like that, you think, well, they spend a lot of time in the gym. These guys don't spend a lot of time in the gym. Why should they? Redemption comes in the form of a little green pill. So, they're eating this stuff. And then they go out and half insane, blown out of their minds. Anybody in the room here ever taken steroids before? How about you? Have you ever taken? Yeah, okay, I see a couple of hands in the back. Cortisone is a steroid. You ever gotten a cortisone shot because you had a real bad cold and your bronchial tissues just wouldn't respond to anything. I got one of those one time in Chicago. What was it, Kathy? About 8-9 years ago. And, I thought I was on death's door. And I went to a doctor who was a Japanese-American who practiced some traditional medicine. Also, he was an MD. The traditional medicine didn't work. He finally just gave up and said, okay, I got to give you a shot. I got to give you a cortisone shot.
Whoa!
It was rough. I could breathe, but I felt like I was breathing fire, metaphorically speaking. So the kinds of steroids that these phony athletes take, and I say phony because their trophies and awards and record-breaking examples of running or jumping or sprinting or swimming or baseballs or golf balls or footballs or whatever, it's all drug-induced. It's all chemical-induced. I've said before, I gave up on professional sports, and I pretty much have given up on Olympic sports and pretty much given up on all sports now down to the high school level because, I mean, how do you know anymore if you're watching the performance of a man or a woman or the performance of a man or a woman on drugs? And a lot of people say, well, it doesn't matter. You know, what's the difference between eating wheat germ or doing steroids? Well, there is a difference. I'm sorry. There really is. So the Blackwater employees, all these bulky-looking monsters with their wraparound shades and their MAC-10s and their AK-47s, just, I mean, Jesus. Some of these guys look like they are better armed than a Marine squad. And rightly so, or not rightly so, but understandably so, because they're private contractors. They don't have to deal with those filthy Democrats in the House and Senate who just won't appropriate enough money. Or maybe it's not the Democrats. Maybe it's the contractors to whom the money goes. It's supposed to provide our people. Well, whatever. So there they are. You've seen those pictures before. These guys don't look human. Armed to the teeth, bulging muscles, standing there just waiting for the nearest Iraqi that they can drop a few slugs into. Security, my ass. These are killers. So the suit was filed in U.S. District Court in Washington this week. And it accuses Blackwater of failing to give drug tests to its guards in Baghdad, even though it's estimated that 25% of them, one in four, was using, quote, judgment-altering substances, end quote. Now, where does that number come from? The suit is based primarily on information provided by current and former Blackwater employees themselves. And this is the lawsuit that seeks some sort of compensation to the families of the Iraqi civilians killed in that September 16th shooting in Baghdad's Nisour Square, where 17 Iraqis were just randomly gunned down, just murdered, butchered. And the suit also says that the Blackwater guards, they had walked away from their post. Their post was, they were supposed to be guarding State Department employees. And they made sure that the employees got to where they were going, and then these people took off, possibly stoned on their asses on these steroids, and went out and murdered people. And this is after the State Department promised immunity to these guys. You want to murder? Okay, just keep it down, all right? Don't make it so obvious. Don't do 17. Do 3 or 4. Don't do them all together. Don't do them in broad daylight. Don't do them on a square in downtown Baghdad. Round them up. Take them out and back at night. Cut their heads off. That way it'll look like Sunnis or Shia. You guys want to murder? Murder. But Jesus, don't be so obvious about it. Well, they got obvious. One of the attorneys, excuse me, Susan Burke, who is assisting in this, she's working as co-counsel with the Center for Constitutional Rights. She told NBC News that current and former employees of Blackwater told her the firm has documentation to back up the suit's claim that one in four Blackwater guards was known to have used steroids or other mind-altering drugs. This reminds me, I've said this before, have you ever seen the movie Jacob's Ladder. You need to see that movie. If you haven't seen that movie, you want to find out what happens to people in a combat situation, or in this case, semi-combat situation, who take mind-altering drugs. Huh? Go rent it. Jacob's Ladder. I'll guarantee you, you will not be able to sit through that movie without just being terrified. It's one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. Tim Robbins plays the lead. But when I read this, it reminded me of that movie. It reminded me of several scenes of that movie, especially at the beginning, where U.S. forces in Vietnam, and this is, of course, documented stuff also, were surreptitiously fed drugs that were supposed to render them incapable of feeling fear. And an untoward side effect, an unexpected side effect of these drugs was to, yeah, it canceled fear. But to the extent that it canceled fear, it increased geometrically aggression. And these U.S. soldiers went berserk. Killed anything and everything, including each other. And when I read this Blackwater story, I thought, Jesus, I've seen this movie before. Take a look. The next time you have a chance to see these thugs on television, take a look at them, and they look like a muscled out Barry Bonds. You know, Barry Bonds looks sloppy now because you know, it's off season. These guys don't work out. But look at these Blackwater guards. You tell me if you don't think they're drugged out of their minds. Speaking of the war zone, airstrikes kill in Afghanistan 14 of people that we hired to build roads, 14 workers who were sleeping in tents. They were bombed and strafed by American troops flying as part of NATO, American warplanes. Well, NATO warplanes, but being flown by Americans. Major Charles Anthony, a spokesman for the NATO force, said two bombs were dropped. And there was a strong indication, his words, that we got a Taliban leader during the course of the operation. Turns out, no, you didn't, but you did get 14 civilian workers who were contracted by the U.S. military to build a road. And, of course, the U.S. military is blaming faulty intelligence for this, how do they put it, mistake. 14 dead Afghans. And for the second day in a row in Iraq, U.S. soldiers yesterday killed Iraqi civilians when they fired on a vehicle that they thought was a threat. That's according to the U.S. military. Also, two soldiers were killed by a roadside bomb. The shooting deaths of the civilians took place in northern Baghdad. Two people died and four were injured when an American soldier fired at a minibus that was transporting workers to a bank operated by the Iraqi finance ministry. Iraqi police said now four people were killed, including three women. And this comes right on the heels of the report the other day of a child and two men killed by U.S. military as they approached a roadblock. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy.
How many kids can you kill and send the lower class the bill so you can drive your kids to soccer practice in your SUV?
Humanitarian needs. We understand the fright that can come when you're worried about a rocket landing on top of your home.
The fright that can happen when you're worried about a rocket landing on top of your home. 21 past the hour. Again, tomorrow night, in response to a request from one of our listeners in Seattle, Jude in Seattle, we're going to read the complete text of the Declaration of Independence, and that'll be at the bottom of the first hour tomorrow night. So Google or ask.com yourself a copy, unless you have one up on the wall in your house, and follow along tomorrow, 9:30 Eastern, the bottom of the first half hour of the program, Declaration of Independence. Jude said, why don't you read it? Because apparently she had, and she some of the whereases, as Jefferson and the rest of them are laying out their reasons that they're about to declare their independence from King George, why they're doing it, the reasons sound nauseatingly similar to what George W. Bush has done to the American people and our form of self-government. Let's go to your phone calls. Marie is calling from Tempe, Arizona, listening on KPHX. Hey, Marie.
Hi, Mike. Oh, my God. You are the king, first of all.
No.
I bow to you. You've got an excellent show. Ian as well.
Okay.
Excellent.
Okay.
My original question comment was about the $1 million, you know, and how...
The $1 million bill the guy tried to open a checking account with.
Yeah, because, you know, it's all over, like, it's a joke. But, you know, people get this stuff sent to them. And, you know, depending on what's said about it, you know, you think it's real. I've received $1 billion in the mail. And, yes, you know, I know it's not real. But, you know, look at what's happening in Denver with the Amero. You know, is that real? Is the fiat money real? Really, when you look at it, what in the heck is real?
Well, now, wait a second. That's not. That has been exposed several times as an absolute hoax. It was a design that somebody came up with. There is no such thing. It was put out on the Internet to freak people out, and it obviously did. There is no such thing as a monetary unit called the Amero that's going to replace the peso, the American and Canadian dollar. It doesn't exist.
Well, I hope it doesn't, because I'm hearing about the North America Trade Union and how they're wanting to merge.
Well, enough,
that would be the currency.
Well, there's enough truth in breaking down some of the remaining restrictions on trade between the United States, Canada, and Mexico.
Yeah, and Highway 69 going up through Texas up to Canada?
No, is that not real either? That's not real either. It just isn't.
Are you sure?
As sure as I am that I'm sitting in this studio in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains.
I am telling you, I have...
No.
From other nationwide radio... people heard the same thing.
Marie, I don't doubt that at all. I'm not disputing the fact that there are programs that put this out there. There are also commentators who a few years ago insisted that Bill and Hillary Clinton killed Vince Foster in the apartment where they had homosexual trysts with Hillary taking movies and then moved his corpse to a park in D.C. Come on now. Come on, Marie.
I'm from Virginia.
All right,
West by God, Virginia.
All right,
please let me rant just for a minute. Because it is like I have fallen through the rabbit hole, and I don't know what is real and what is not real.
Now, I understand.
With my government... And with what I'm being told in the media, and you're talking about the press corps, I mean, you could see they've sold their soul for a buck. And Justin A. Frank was on, you know, Jeff's show.
Right.
And
he was on this show, too. We had him on 10 days ago, and he was on Jeff Farias' program tonight. Yeah, I understand.
Does it not seem like we've been, I mean, you look at the shock doctrine. You know, everything I'm hearing from Nova M about politically what's going on and
right.
What do we do and how, like I said, I could swear. I mean, I've been told that the Highway 69 and the merging us and all this, and then you're saying, no, it's not true. And how...
Well, this is always my advice, Marie. My advice is always when you hear something that upsets you, I don't care what it is. If it's about a massive 30-lane wide highway going from where? Mexico City to Ottawa? I have no idea. When you hear that stuff, or a new kind of money called the Amero, I don't care where you hear it from. If you hear it on this program, check it out. do some independent research. And I'm not just talking about the internet. Go to the library. I mean, whatever it takes. Talk with someone you trust. Just do the research. There is no such monetary unit as the Amero. That is some freaky right-winger's wet dream about how to stir us all up and go, oh, time to go buy more guns. There is no such thing as Highway 69 or whatever the hell it's called. It doesn't exist. I know it's easy to fall prey to this stuff, Marie. Trust me. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Oil families' pockets to get filled. How many oil families get killed? Not a damn one, so what's the deal?
My job is a decision-making job, and as a result, I make a lot of decisions, and it's important for me to have an opportunity to speak to you and others who would be listening, explain why I have made some of the decisions I have made, the basis on which I have made decisions, to explain the philosophy behind some of the decisions I have made.
Before the hour, are you all familiar with the Oral Roberts story? Richard Roberts, whose old man is Oral, told students at Oral Roberts University today that he did not want to resign as president of his scandal-plagued little nest of fraud and thievery and corruption. But God told him to. According to Richard Roberts, God told him on Thanksgiving that he should resign the next day. Roberts said, every ounce of my flesh said no. But you know, I just prayed over the decision with my wife and my father, Oral. Yeah, he's still alive. He talks like he's got a mouthful of butter. Or vomit, but he's still alive. And then he decided to step down, or I decided to step down. Roberts said he wanted to strike out, his words, against the people who were persecuting him. And he considered countersuing, but the Lord said, don't do that, Richard. The Lord said that. The Lord said, don't do it. And he says, after submitting his resignation, for the first time in 60 days, peace came into my heart. Roberts was applauded and cheered by the students. He spoke for a few minutes and then wiped away tears with a white handkerchief and his hands. The lawsuit accuses this pig of lavish spending, with the university more than $50 million in debt, obviously, because his old man was the same way. The spending included luxury shopping sprees, buying a stable of horses, paying for his daughter's travels to the Bahamas aboard a university jet. I bet Jesus loves that. And, you know, God's sitting up there going, well, Oral, or Richard, Paul Stone, your dad, Richard, no, man, stay there. You know, I told you before, boy, you can steal a little. Damn, I told Ashcroft the same thing, steal a little. I told them Blackwater people, steal a little, kill a few, but don't be so damned obvious about it. Regarding the allegations in the lawsuit, Roberts said that God told him to deny the allegations. You know, God just wanted me to stand out there and give you all the finger. He did. He wanted God told this freak to deny the allegations. And the way he put it, the way God put it, I don't believe I'm even sharing this with you. God said to Oral Roberts, Richard Roberts, you know, Richard, we live in a litigious society. Anyone can get mad and file a lawsuit against another person, whether they have a legitimate case or not. This lawsuit is about intimidation, Richard. It's about blackmail and extortion, and I don't know. Hell, I'm God. No pun intended. My God. And today, Robert said God told him that he, God, would, quote, do something supernatural for the university, end quote, if he stepped down from the job that he's held since 1993. You go ahead and step down, Richard, and I'll do something supernatural for you. Well, on Tuesday, the founder of a Christian office and education supply store chain pledged $70 million to help the university, provided it passed a 90-day review of the school's finances. The businessman is one Mark Green, founder of the Mardell chain. He offered to donate $8 million immediately. Oh, Mark, he wants to get his ass up in heaven, too. Here, God, look at me. I'm going to give him $8 million today and another $42 million soon. Well, you know, God, I mean, I believe everything the oral says you're telling him, but I want to take a look at the books first. Just a little joke there, God. Oral Roberts and this Roberts clan has been screwing the public for how long with Oral Roberts University? I remember the last time these freaks and geeks caught my attention was when Oral was trying to raise, what was it, Kathy, $70 million, and he got stuck around $3 million, and he went up into the tower of the university. Do you remember what happened?
He went up to the prayer tower.
Prayer tower.
And he said God was holding him hostage.
Oh, that's right.
Hostage.
That's right. God's a terrorist. He takes hostages.
And I'll never forget Saturday Night Live did this whole running bit on how the great deity denied claims that he was holding Oral Roberts hostage. It was hilarious.
Oh, man. What a family, huh? I mean, you take a look at some of these families. Pat Robertson, Oral Roberts, George Bush, Dick Cheney. You look at these families. And never mind. So Richard Roberts, God told him on Thanksgiving. Now that's pretty. What's the word I'm looking for? To tell somebody on Thanksgiving, boy, I want you to resign because you know I'm getting a little pissed off with all these games you're playing in my name. I told you, steal a little, keep your mouth shut, don't make a big scene like your dad did, come up to say, tell everybody I was holding him hostage. But no, you can't do that. You bought a stable of horses? Man. Well, it's time for you to resign. But God, I don't want to. I love my life. I said it's time for you to resign. But I love... Oh, all right. I'll resign. These people make me sick. Scott is calling from Federal Way, Washington, listening on KPTK. Hey, Scott.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the libertarian Nazi who is running in the who can be the biggest Nazi contest tonight.
You're talking about Ron Paul?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Mr.
Well, Scott, that's hardly the Christian attitude. I mean,
well, I guess I don't fit into that Christian attitude thing, so. But, Mr., I believe in the Constitution, MIA for the, H.R. 1955, he was MRA for the FISA revision bill.
No, wait, what's that first one?
That's that bill that has to do with the speech that I think they voted on October 24th, and I think that they were talking about it again today, that one that, something about the, they, designate, based on whether or not somebody is thinking about hate crimes or something about thinking about violence or something.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
About that one. So yeah, he wasn't there for those votes. He doesn't believe in impeachment unless you're talking about somebody being screwed in a blue dress. So, you know, that's your defender of the Constitution.
Yeah, ain't mine.
And I would tell you something else, and I don't know whether you got my email or not, cause I had sent you some links. I know you get a lot of stuff, but anyway, some of the wonderful supporters that he's getting, these so-called donations and stuff.
Yeah.
From neo-Nazi groups like Aryan Nation, the KKK. One of his big supporters was Don Knight, former Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan.
Really? This is on his campaign reporting or disclosure report?
I Googled it. You know, you can Google up certain words, and now there are reports out there on the Internet about Now he's denouncing or had sent the contribution back to him about he claims that he disavowed it and stuff. And, of course, you know the stuff that he said on his newsletters before referring to blacks and this kind of stuff. This man has a past of doing this kind of stuff before. This is who this person is, and he's very big, has a very big following with these groups.
Oh, yeah.
These people that think that he is so wonderful and that the sun sets and rises around him. And you know what really pisses me off about this? Because I have debated some of these people.
That,
you know, when they sit there, when you bring up the fact that he gets these donations from these people, well, you know, what's the big deal as long as we're going for the same goal? Now, I asked him, now, would you be so forgiving about this if he was getting money from Muslims? You know, then, you know, they don't say too much of anything, which, you know, kind of goes to the point where I was talking about the last time about race in this country and stuff like that, about just how far we have come. Now, they, that what's-her-face down there in Georgia, who ran up against Cynthia McKinney in 02, made an issue about Cynthia McKinney getting money from Muslim contributors and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, how everybody was so up in arms about that.
Right.
Oh,
right.
That's not okay. But it's okay to get money from KKK people. You know, we're supposed to look the other way about that. That's not supposed to be offensive. You know, there's something seriously wrong with that kind of psyche. Forget about the fact that, you know, he doesn't believe in government. Look at the fact of who he looks around with. Look at the fact of his voting record against the Civil Rights Act about the voter registration or the renewal of the Voter Act and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, this man is disgusting, totally disgusting.
Yeah, he's almost as bad as Rudy Giuliani. Who we're going to talk a bit about Giuliani tomorrow night. Giuliani is absolutely, utterly corrupt. I mean, bit by bit, Village Voice, Politico.com, all this stuff is starting to publish on the corruption of Giuliani. Ron Paul has got an awful lot of people mesmerized, as does Giuliani. Ron Paul, as you pointed out, is what he is. You know, he's another Texas libertarian, a Texas white man, a libertarian who's doesn't have the courage to run anymore as a libertarian, so he runs as a Republican. He's a sneak and a snake. Giuliani's another one. I mean, all of this is what I was talking about earlier tonight. All these clowns.
Instead of saying that you don't believe in, just come out and say that you don't believe in this instead of hiding behind the Constitution. And I tell you something else, until I saw this, and it kind of jarred my memory of him running for president in 88, because there's a clip of him on YouTube when he was on the Morton Downey Jr. show years ago,
right,
when he couldn't get any press on there. Now, if you want to see about somebody who was hot-headed and really a freak back then,
yeah,
and the kinds of people that he was hanging around with back
right,
then,
right,
take a look at that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, that just goes to show how naive or either willfully ignorant or just stupid, how stupid people are in this country to be flocking around somebody like that.
I hear you.
It's really sickening.
I hear you. I hear you. Scott, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate what you had to say. I like to hear people who are not under the spell of someone like Ron Paul or I was going to say Giuliani or Romney, but you know, Giuliani or Romney, they don't cast that net, that mesmerizing net over somebody's head and seem to just jerk him into the Twilight Zone the way Ron Paul does. I mean, Ron Paul is, you got to give him credit. I mean, he's got this uncanny ability to take someone who might otherwise have normal common sense and convince them that he is going to save the American Republic. Oh, please.
Well,
It's about 8 minutes before the hour. We're a little bit behind tonight, aren't we? Right, Kathy? We're a little bit behind. It's 8 minutes before the hour. Actually, it's about 7.5 minutes before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Gary is calling from Long Island, New York, listening on the Internet. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Good, good. The thing is, you know, when I hear you talk, you know, I know the passion that you put into things and everything. Uh-huh. But, you know, if you look at the way that Gandhi looked at things, he looked at things the way they were, and then he applied it to the way that people were living their lives, you know, and the way he did his, you know, his marches to the seashore and everything.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, you know, look at what's going on now, and they say to themselves, well, you know what, I'm not one of these people that's going to get picked up and be arrested and thrown in jail for being a enemy combatant and everything. But, you know, the thing is people have to realize that as they let these things erode to the point where, you know, just regular everyday people will be picked up for those things, you know, it's very easy for anybody to just turn their back, even if they're passionate like we are.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
right.
But it's, you know, I mean, these bastards, you know, they'll tell you, oh, you know, these terrorists, you know, when you hear right wingers talk about the people in Guantanamo, what do they say? They say these people are sworn enemies. They're terrorists and they're Al Qaeda, and it's these people.
No, wait, Gary, was that Gary? I appreciate what you were saying and your passion, but. That's one of those words we can't use on the air. I'm sorry. Just one of those words we can't use on the air. We'll catch you next time around, Gary. Jake is calling from Eureka, California, listening on KGOA. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going all right.
So I'd like to discuss the latest scandalous revelation about Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, man. There's just no end in sight with this guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just look at the story at Politico.com.
I just printed it off.
Great. Yeah, and I'll just, you know, tell everybody what it's about real quick. Rudy Giuliani billed tens of thousands of dollars illegally when he was, you know, while he was mayor of New York City. He was married to his second wife, Donna Hanover, seeing his mistress, who's now his third wife, Judy
right.
Nathan.
Right.
And he was going to visit her in Long Island, you know, flying out to see her and all this stuff on his, you know, private little jets and stuff. And billing it to the New York City taxpayers.
Oh, yeah, I've got, yeah. Just go to Politico.com for anyone who hasn't gotten the story yet. It's written by Ben Smith. And it's just astonishing what this, this guy is really, really dirty, Jake.
Absolutely. Rudy Giuliani's a scumbag. And what do we expect from this guy if he somehow becomes our next president? You know, while he's working on, you know, future wife number four, what's he going to do, use Air Force One at American taxpayer expense to go visit his next mistress?
Oh, it's awful. The part that bothers me about it, you know, I don't give a damn how many people he's boinking. Here's what bothers me. This scum sucker expects, in the case you're talking about, he expects the taxpayers in New York to pay for his, his little sex fling with his girlfriend. He's a liar and a sneak. Again, I don't care who someone sleeps with. That's between them and their conscience and the people they're sleeping with. I don't care if it's man, woman, it doesn't make any difference. But if the taxpayer has to pay for it, and then these people represent themselves in a self-righteous light, they're hypocrites, they're liars, they're sneaks, and they're committing fraud. I mean, Jesus, how far do we have to go before we say to a candidate, get out of here? And remember, Jake, this is Pat Robertson's candidate of choice. Family values, right up your keister, you know. Oh, my God.
God, talk about hypocrisy. These Republicans make me sick.
I hear you, pal.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Jake, take care. Yeah. Family. I couldn't care less. If Rudy Giuliani wants to embarrass his children, wants to bring his hoe home to while his wife is asleep upstairs, you know, whatever you want to do, pal. Whatever gets you through the night, you know. I mean, whatever your mama taught you to do and not do, and your daddy and your priest, go for it. Freak. But don't expect other people to take a look, unless it's some moron like Pat Robertson, to take a look at you and go, oh, yeah, well, that's the kind of guy I'd like running the country. Sure. He lies. He cheats. If somebody will cheat on his wife. You don't think he won't cheat on the entire country? Come on. Get out of here. Rudy Giuliani, my ass. Go back to it. Go be a lawyer. Keep doing your PR thing, Rudy. There's a lot of terrorists around the planet you don't represent yet. Try to sign them up, man. A lot of money in the terrorism business, all right? Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Boy, you folks are just getting way too hip. Barry writes in, Giuliani mistress is who? I thought Giuliani's mistress was Clara Petacchio. Petacchi. She's the one that they hanged along with Mussolini. And Aram writes, Mike, I'm a very religious Jewish man. I was always told by my rabbi that when you speak to God, people will say you're praying. But when you say God speaks to you, people will say you're crazy. This is in regard to Oral Roberts. Sadly, most of the sycophants who will believe Roberts' line of nonsense, Oral Roberts is a university like a comic book is a book. Wow, what idiots, Aram writes. God told Bush to invade Iraq. Maybe one of these days God will tell someone something useful like the cure for cancer or AIDS. Nah, science will do that. Sincerely, Aram, in his last name. Oh, the subject line, Oral Roberts, kookaboo president. Kookaboo. Yeah, well. And Brooke in Indiana writes in, welcome to the 2007 Middle Ages debate. Mike, what's going on? How can this debate even be on television? I, too, have lost all respect for Anderson Cooper. How can he sit there and play nicey-nice with these cavemen? All except two of these men believe he is less than human because Anderson's gay. These men are delusional. I just read a poll that said 74% of America wants this war over. We didn't even have one political fight at Thanksgiving because there's no one to argue with anymore. Everyone thinks this president and this war are wrong. Are any of these demons listening to the people? Brooke in Indiana, I think she means there's no reason to argue in her family anymore. Politically, political arguments, you know. Yeah, if you go to politico.com, Ben Smith's article, I mean, I'm not going to read it on the air. It's fairly lengthy, not as long as the one at Village Voice. Oh my God, Giuliani's clients are terrorists who terrorist organization. Well, you read it yourself. Go to Village Voice. That one. Let me see here. That one is written by Wayne Barrett. Wayne Barrett at the Village Voice came out yesterday. The one at Politico.com came out today. As New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani billed obscure city agencies for tens of thousands of dollars in security expenses amassed during the time when he was beginning an extramarital relationship with future wife Judith Nathan in the Hamptons, according to previously undisclosed government records. The documents obtained by Politico under New York's Freedom of Information Law show that the mayoral costs had nothing to do with the functions of the little-known city offices that defrayed his tabs, including agencies responsible for regulating loft apartments, aiding the disabled, and providing lawyers for indigent defendants. At the time, the mayor's office refused to explain the accounting to city auditors, citing security. The Hamptons' visits resulted in hotel, gas, and other costs for Giuliani's New York Police Department security detail. Giuliani's relationship with Nathan is old news now, and Giuliani regularly asked voters on the campaign trail to forgive his, quote, mistakes, end quote. It's also impossible, just a little more here from Ben Smith, it's also impossible to know whether the purpose of all the Hamptons trips was to see Nathan. A Giuliani spokeswoman declined to discuss any aspect of the story, which was explained in detail to her earlier this week. Asked about this article after it was published on Wednesday, Giuliani said, "It's not true." He said he had 24-hour security during his 8 years as mayor because of threats, adding, quote, "I had nothing to do with the handling of their records, and they were handled, as far as I know, perfectly appropriately." Oh, okay. So while you're out humping around with your hoe, it's okay to bill the cost of that humping to agencies that aid the disabled. Oh, okay. All right, Rudy, whatever you say, you freaking fascist. Back to your phone calls. We'll cover some more Giuliani tomorrow night. But seriously, go to villagevoice.com and read that one, and then go to politico.com and read this one. This Giuliani is an absolute corrupt. And I don't care what his position is on gay rights or a woman's right to privacy or gun control. That doesn't make any well, it makes a difference if those are the only issues that you're involved in. That makes a difference to these right-wing freakoid nuts. Giuliani couldn't care less about those three. He doesn't have a position. His position is no position. That's all. What bothers me is the fact that he is a liar, a sneak, a cheat, a defrauder, a scumbag, and then lies about his lying.
I was just going to say, Pat Robertson doesn't care either, apparently.
Robertson is already gone to be with whatever demon he's going to spend eternity with. That's his android shell walking around. Back to your phone calls. Rich is calling from Toledo, Ohio, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right.
When you were talking about Ashcroft before, I was wondering why somebody didn't ask him how proud he was of his government when he needed FBI protection in his hospital room so they wouldn't shoot an air bubble in his brain if they reauthorized the wiretapping bill.
Yeah, I wonder if that was part of the plan. You know, if this guy, I can just hear Gonzalez, if this guy doesn't go along, let's just put a bubble in his tube.
Either that or writing on the orders to have him lobotomized like his predecessor before he went to testify.
Yeah. Who are you talking about?
One of the other ones was going to testify on the wiretapping bill. He had a stroke or something, and they removed his speech center out of his brain before he testified. and I believe he died not too long after that.
I don't know, unless you're talking about William Casey, who was going to testify. He was the head of the CIA during the Reagan years. He was going to testify about what really happened with Iran-Contra. And I think it was the night before or a couple of days before he's to testify. He had a stroke and then died before he could ever testify. If that's what you're talking about,
that might have been on.
That goes back to the 80s, though. But yeah, it's just like the Soviet Union. You know, if somebody is going to say something or do something, and it's going to cause you massive amounts of embarrassment, just kill them.
Yeah, and with the did you see this new poll that just about every Republican would beat Hillary Clinton if she was nominated?
Who took that? The American Enterprise Institute?
That's no, I think not. I think that was an ugly poll.
Well, I just simply don't believe that. I really don't. I am not a Hillary fan. Not at all. I hope somebody else gets the Democratic nomination. But there is no way in hell that any Republican, Mitt Romney or McCain or the rest of these halfwits, would defeat Hillary Clinton. It's just not going to happen.
I don't know. She just got so many negatives. I've been figuring that for almost a year now. If they want another Republican president, nominate Hillary.
That's part of the reason. Look, the people that control the real key industries in this country, banking, finance, investments, oil, energy, they are backing Hillary Clinton media. They are backing her to the hilt. Absolutely. They just haven't come out yet. They're waiting for the first primary to go by or whatever. Precisely because of what you just said. She is the best Republican, just like her husband. She's the best Republican. They don't want some freak that thinks, believes in the talking snake theory of creation. They don't want somebody like any of these Republicans. They don't want some washed out psychopath like McCain. They want Hillary because Hillary would make a perfect Republican president.
I regret I had to tell you right in war. I never wanted to be a war president. When no one gives a damn about the future of children,
just building a cash flow, making a bank account. Let us expose the truth. Is that what the war's about? Because I don't understand. Okay, here you go. Rocky Mountain Mary sent this to me. It's out there now. It came out about three, four hours ago. Trent Lott's brother-in-law and nephew have been indicted on federal bribery charges. You can find this at HuffingtonPost.com. I'm sure it'll be all over the news tomorrow. Prominent Mississippi trial attorney Richard Dickey Scruggs, the brother-in-law of outgoing GOP Senator Trent Lott, was indicted by a federal grand jury Wednesday on charges that he and four other men tried to bribe a Mississippi state court judge. According to the 13-page indictment, Scruggs and three other attorneys, including Lott's nephew, the family that frauds together, whatever, attempted to bribe Mississippi Third Circuit Court Judge Henry Lackey with at least $40,000 in cash. Lackey was assigned to hear a lawsuit in which Dickey Scruggs' firm was named as a defendant in a dispute involving a $26.5 million in attorney's fees stemming from a court settlement with State Farm Insurance over Hurricane Katrina claims. The indictment alleges that the bribe was intended to resolve the case in Scruggs and his firm's favor. Also charged was Sidney Backstrom, an attorney at Scruggs' firm, Timothy Balducci, a New Albany, Mississippi lawyer, and former state auditor Stephen Patterson, an employee of Balducci's law firm. Blah, 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 blah. And if you want to go to HuffingtonPost.com and find this, it was written by Max Follmer, F-O-L-L-M-E-R. The indictment is there. You can download it. Well, okay. I would have opted for the prostitute, but so now, of course, Trent didn't know anything about this.
Trent, well, I don't know nothing about it. But I'll tell you what.
You know, if Strom Thurmond would have been made president, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. I swear to God, that's true. This is just insane. All of it. What have we become? What has our political class become? Just a collection, a barnyard full of jackasses and whores and mental midgets and people who want to walk around praying for a miracle I mean, what are these people? And Ted Stevens, the senator from Alaska, and his family, they're about to be They're about all to go to jail or go on trial for all the scams and ripoffs. These Republicans, and as far, oh, by the way, as far as Giuliani, do you know who it's gotten himself so close to Giuliani? If he got any closer, they'd be having sex. And that's Sean Hannity. I watched Hannity do that with Newt Gingrich down here in Atlanta when Hannity couldn't find his ass with both hands. Didn't know which way was up. Just a real hick. And he attached himself to Newt. And that's how Hannity got his introduction to Roger Ailes and on and on and on. Now he's doing it with Giuliani. I swear to God, it's just amazing to watch this stuff. But after you watch it for a while, you just want to pick up the nearest weapon. I mean, you just really do. You just want to pick up something. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. A barrel stave, a piece of old pipe laying around, rocks, anything. And let loose. But what a collection of miscreants and rat bastards. I mean, the definitive nutballs. When they're not talking about, well, do you believe in, what was the question they asked at the Republican debate tonight? Do you believe God wrote the Bible? What was that? What was it, Kathy?
Oh, do you believe every word in the Bible is the word of God?
Oh, I like the part that says you're going to be ripped into a million pieces and murdered and your children raped and brutalized if you eat meat and milk on the same plate. That's one of my favorites, you know. Or another one of my favorites, you know, if you have a daughter who, you know, you tell your daughter, get out there and spin some flax or whatever the hell you're supposed to. Dad, I'm a little bit tired. I don't think I will. I'm going to go out and back and milk the goats. What do you do with that daughter? Immediately kill her. Just kill her. Kill the little bitch. That's one of my, oh, I love that Bible. That's the word of God. And when Joshua is told to go ahead, cross over the Jordan, go into Canaan, as it was called back then. That's before it was called Palestine, I guess. I don't know. Go into Canaan. And when you get into Canaan, here's what I want you to do. I want you to kill everything. I'm going to rip their heads off, brutalize them. I want you to take your spear tip and rip it into the bellies of pregnant women and dump the fetid contents out on the ground and then stomp on the fetus. Fetus, fetid, same thing. Kill them all! That's a nice God, isn't it? Huh? And here they are trying to out-God themselves, these Republicans. And Giuliani, just an absolute weasel, just a defines weasel. And nobody in media is challenging him. Nobody. I mean mainstream media.
Ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
It's about 25 before the hour. Let's go back to your phone calls. Jean is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Jean, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Great. Mike, I just had to call.
Okay.
I want to bring us another vocabulary moment.
Okay.
In this corner is the word idealism, and in the other corner is its opponent word ideology. Now, idealism means striving to achieve one's ideals, ideals such as equality, justice for all, the rights of all beings, civil liberties. Now, that's versus ideology. Ideology is made up of doctrines, opinions, and the ways of thinking of an individual, class, religion and so on.
Right.
Now, an ideology can be based on superstition, bigotry, racism, favoritism, or the techniques of marketing and selling. So what made me come to thinking about this today was the difference between what our elections used to be like and what's happening in this election cycle now. To me, it looks like the Clinton-style Democratic Leadership Council style, it's like a bizarre sliding scale labeled both progressive and moderate, and it has replaced this beautiful, plain old liberal idealism. Do you think that's because they crowded everybody out on the East Coast when they did their carpetbagger thing and went there?
I'm sorry, say that again.
When the Clintons went to the East Coast and everybody was calling them carpetbaggers, did they literally crowd out the old-fashioned idealists?
Apparently.
Yeah, because we just seem to be suffering more than ever. And it's all, what made me think about it, too, is this Oprah phenomenon.
Right.
I mean, it looks just so questionable. It's just like Amway's group mesmerizing techniques that she does.
Yeah.
I mean, she's perfected this kind of consumerism stimulus. Just say her name and it's like, what should I buy today?
Yeah, right. I know. It's madness, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I live, being here in San Francisco, I watched how she helped Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't based on his platform when she had him on her show, mm-hmm. but just on the strength of his Hollywood celebrity and the
right.
and the status of the Kennedy family. It was like, wow, buy this. And then before the lead up to the war, she had Tom Friedman on many times.
Right.
Before the invasion, and it was just a terrible thing to watch. It's and I just hate to see any of the idealism that may be left in some of these candidates be marketed away like a cigarette commercial.
Do you think then that Oprah is part of the problem, not the solution?
Well, I don't think she's part of the solution. No, I don't think marketing bad ideology is going to be part of the solution. We have to get back to the roots of our idealism.
How did it come to pass that Oprah Winfrey has managed to ascend to such a pinnacle of power in this country where when she endorses a candidate, what's his name? Pitt.
Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt can endorse somebody and nobody gives a damn. But Oprah decides to endorse and go to work for, in a manner of speaking, Barack Obama. And the press, I watched this, was it today or yesterday? They're all over it. And I keep thinking to myself, what is this about now?
Because it's a consumerism temple, her show. You tune in and it's very much like Amway. Everybody's hyped.
But how did Oprah Winfrey, a television interviewer and a not very good actress, managed to get to this point? How does that happen? There are other people on television. There are other people that have one-hour programs. Jerry Springer comes to mind. Not that there's any comparison, but you understand what I'm saying. How did Oprah Winfrey, when I heard this story today, all I could think of was the word kingmaker. Now, that used to be reserved for, civic leaders or religious leaders. Now, the title Kingmaker, is that going to be handed off to a television talk show host? I can't seem to comprehend what the hell has happened to my little society, my little country, my little nation.
Well, I'm glad you talk about it every night, though.
Well, yeah.
Because I don't know what's happened either, but it really stimulates me to think of things, and I want to look now for idealists. Every time people are coming up for election and stuff, I want to find out if they're idealists or just ideological scammers.
Well, they're pretty easy to discover one way or the other. Thing, Gene, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Bob is calling from Seattle, listening on the internet. Hey, Bob.
Oh, hi. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Great. You know, first off, I've got some good news here that I haven't heard, that Australian Prime Minister John Howard was ousted, one of the neocon fascists.
Yeah, we talked about that Monday.
You bet, and right. you bet you've talked about it.
I was just as thrilled as you were.
You bet. The whole neocon false, I guess Bush is left with what, three people from Tahiti or something?
That's
coalition
part
of the
willing. Yeah,
yeah, But, you know, I'm reading Gore Vidal's Perpetual War for Perpetual Peace.
Isn't that a scary book?
Well, it is scary, but, you know, it just really shows this horrible fascist, corrupt sewer that we live in. And, you know, I mean, let's be honest. We're living in a sewer.
Yes, we are.
I don't like that. None of us like that, but, you know, we're in a sewer, and... you know, when we're in a sewer, we have to admit the truth. And what Gore Vidal shows here in the sewer is the number of military operations that we're engaged in,
mm-hmm.
in the book.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
So when somebody says, my God, you know, why is this fascist moron Bush and this idiot Cheney? Why are we in Iraq? You know, why aren't we in every goddamn country in the world? Because according to Gore Vidal, this fascist, horrible empire that we live in, this sewer, has got its tentacles really everywhere, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's absolutely pathetic. We're bankrupt, not only morally bankrupt, we're financially bankrupt. The people here are crying out for justice. There is none. The government doesn't hear the cries of the people. It actually, Bush and Cheney probably like the sounds of the cries of the people. They probably sadistically play them for entertainment because these folks are worse than Marie Antoinette. I mean, we've got people that Marie Antoinette would blush. She'd be blushing compared to what we've got here. Louis the 14th and Marie Antoinette would actually be blushing. Let them eat cake. These folks here, give me a break.
I hear you. They either blushing or wanting to join the feast. By the way, Bob, if you want to read something else that Gore Vidal has just written in the current issue of The Nation, the November 26th issue. Read his piece on Dennis Kucinich. It's very quick. The Nation asked a bunch of writers to take various political candidates and write something about them, something quick. John Nichols wrote on Joe Biden, Ellen Chesler on Hillary, Catherine Newman on John Edwards, yada, yada. Gore Vidal wrote on Kucinich, and it's worth, it's a very quick piece. Matter of fact, I might read the whole thing tomorrow on the program. It's only one page here, but he wrote on Kucinich. Where are we? I lost my train of thought. All right, Janie calling from Bedford, Oregon? Janie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. This
is Janie. Is in Janie and Javier from the Dom Princess.
Oh, hey, how are you, Jamie?
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. God, I'm homesick. I want to get back on that boat. How about you?
Oh, I tell you, but the best part of that whole thing was the people we went with. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I've been hearing from some of them. Mary Jill called me. We heard from about five different people have called us, you know, because we can't hook up to the email because we're on the truck. And it's just awesome hearing from everybody.
Janie, hold on. I got to do a break and then come back, and we'll have just a couple of minutes when I come back. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. Ten before the hour, thanks to our crew of liberal miscreants for the program tonight. Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Chris in Minnesota, and our executive producer, Catherine Bay. Thanks, everybody. We're talking with Jamie, Bedford, Oregon. All right, where were we, Jamie? We got about 2 minutes here.
Okay, well, first of all, Javier wants you to please quit torturing with the Ashcraft.
Hey,
no
that's
more.
Hey, that's not me. That's Kathy. I beg her not
that's
to play that.
That's what he thought. He
yeah,
said she's so mean.
you tell him that it's not me. It's her. And we're gonna have a little chat when the program's over tonight.
Well, what I wanted to say real quick was that back in September, Hillary said something that was I found very disturbing. I haven't heard anyone talk about it. She said that if she becomes president, that she would look at the powers, the Unitarian powers that Bush has amassed, and she might give up some of them.
Right. Right.
And it's like, this woman is poison. She's dangerous.
I know. I know. I can't stand to hear these putrid Republicans busting on her, because truth is, as much as I do not like Hillary Clinton and will do nothing to see her elected, including voting for her, the Republicans are even worse. They really are. She may be everything that she is, but she is smarter and more politically adept than any of these rugrats that are running on the Republican trying to get the Republican nomination, which is not saying a lot. That's damning with faint praise, I understand, but as much as I dislike Hillary on numerous levels, starting on the political level, you know, I don't start on the personal level with Hillary Clinton. I start on the political level. I just don't like what she stands for. I don't like her the way she talks about issues. But as much as I dislike her as a political candidate, I almost feel the need to step into the breach and say these Republicans, you know, you guys couldn't hold a candle to Hillary Clinton. Go back and do whatever you're doing before this. Go back to your fraud and your games and your religious nuttery. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. I agree with you. She just, but if I have my choice, I don't want her. But
well, then don't vote for her, because I will not. And that's awful, because if she is the Democratic nominee, I just can't do it anymore. I will not do it anymore. If Hillary Clinton is a Democratic, and I know I've changed my position on this a couple of times, but this is kind of it for me. If she's a Democratic nominee, then I just will leave that little box empty when I go to vote.
You can always write in Al Gore, you know.
That's true. I can. That's true. All right, Jamie, take care. Tell Javier I said hey.
Okay.
Y'all be careful, all right? Oh, okay. I guess Kathy hit the hello button too quick. Barbara in Cave Creek, Arizona, listening to KPHX. Hey, Barbara.
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, you know, Giuliani's not going to be the candidate because he's too bald. You know, they only run candidates that have hair now.
Well, if that's the case, we're stuck with Romney?
Yeah, Romney.
Romney has great hair.
Yeah, Romney has good hair, and Marie Osmond, the other Mormon, came in third in dancing, you know, in the dance contest, and she can't dance. So, you know, this is scary. I'm telling you, they're organized, and it's scary. And I'm sorry, I'd rather vote for Hillary. If I have to, I'll vote for Hillary.
I know.
I just can't let another Republican in there. You know, even if she's whatever she is, I think some of her stances are scary and, you know, whatever it is, but if we have to inch along in that path, at least we're inching in a different direction.
Well, I certainly understand that point of view.
We just can't let the Republicans win. I mean, this is what they want to make sure that Hillary or somebody, this is what they want to do to us. Again, I'm going to quote all the president's men. The Republicans, that Nixon wanted to run against McGovern, and look who he's running against. And that was a famous line of how the Republicans had manipulated the Democrats in 72.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and instead of Muskie, who would have, you know, been phenomenal after they faked letters and made him cry, they got McGovern, who was correct on the issues, but not a strong personality.
Well, Barbara, I do understand, and I've taken that same position. I would never vote for Hillary in the primaries, but
right.
If she gets the nomination, I have to vote for her. I just can't, and I respect the fact that you will, but I can't do it anymore. And if my withholding my vote, and if hundreds of thousands or perhaps millions of other people withhold their vote from Hillary and a Republican does get in, then maybe all the better. Because then
wait a second.
That'll speed the revolution.
No, it won't. It'll just crush us because that's exactly what they want us to do. That's why all the Republicans have registered as Democrats and in all these little caucuses in New Hampshire and Iowa so they can make Hillary or Obama, who is not electable, the candidate.
But at some point...
We are being manipulated. And
but
we
Barbara,
have...
at some point...
Now is the time for all good men to come and get your party.
I know, but at some point, we have to say enough of this. We have to. And if I have to do it for my own mental health in this upcoming election next November by withholding a vote from a Democratic presidential candidate that I do not believe in, do not respect, I am going to do it. And if that in turn causes this person, you know, if my little missing vote, along with, like I said, hundreds of thousands of other missing votes, cause the Republicans to get another shot at the Oval Office, then more power to them for a number of reasons. First of all, this country is heading at 100 miles an hour for a brick wall. Secondly, we're also heading for martial law. We're heading for all kinds of things. And if there is a Republican in office, I think it'll make it so much easier for millions of us to say, that's it, that's the final straw, and let the second American Revolution begin. And I never thought that I would be thinking these thoughts or saying these words, but, you know, here we are. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.